This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Meg Ryan, so Richard Gere,
I'm with by Ling, and we're kissing, blah blah blah,
yeah,
good kiss. And she's like, I think I really like you. And I'm like, oh, you thought this was for real? You're an object on my scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the insider's guide back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
On the red carpet line stuff, too, and what up to all of you. All the listeners.
Hayes, I'm here with Sean Clements.
And I'm Sean Clements, and I'm here with Hayes.
We are fans of the movies first, fans first, always, and cinephiles.
And I consider myself a studier of movies.
Yes. And we also sometimes do movies of our own.
Almost a schoolboy who's just a studier of the movies. And just, you can picture me. When you listen to this, picture me in my little sailor's outfit
and
with my
short pants,
book with the straps, and just
skipping
and
down the
apple
sidewalk.
For teacher. And oh, please, you know.
Please. And
please give me kiss for doing the good grades on studying the movies.
We want to talk today. We've been hearing some negativity and unpleasant chatter connected to the profession of voice acting. The voice actors in general, there's been some criticism out there that lately in animated films, only big celebrities are chosen to play certain roles. The most famous example being Ryan Reynolds in Turbo, but there are others as well where the only qualification to be a big voice actor is to be a famous celebrity
and
in your
that it's
own
not
right.
a talent that it's not a talent
yes.
specific, you know, apart from acting and film acting,
yes.
that voice acting is not its own kind of field. And I disagree, and I feel like that's hater stuff.
Yes. People see Bradley Cooper is the raccoon in the new Guardians
movie.
You
watch the Guardians of the Galaxy and you see this mm-hmm. fun raccoon who looks like sort of a rascally character and he's getting into trouble. And
yes.
you think, oh, what's the sort of cool, edgy voice going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear that it's Bradley Cooper and you think, oh, I think they just got the most famous person they could because mm-hmm. he's sort of, I think some people think, sort of bland. Mm-hmm.
But you are jealous of Bradley Cooper. As you're saying that, as you're having that thought process, mm-hmm. because you're jealous of him because he has more money than you are.
And you're wishing you were this raccoon guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, that wouldn't be any better. It would be more worse because what Bradley did was he really fleshed out and brought life to this character's voice. Now, it happens to sound a lot like Bradley Cooper because he is kind of a rascal.
Mm-hmm. It is a skill. It is. It is sort of almost like giving birth. It's creating
harder.
Life from nothing.
Harder and more painful, I think, than giving birth. But mm-hmm. yes.
And we sort of wanted to throw back the curtain, like we like to do, and show
and
the
it's
process.
It is also like giving birth because in order to get into the headspace to create that, I do need to have a good fuck first and mm-hmm. just really clear out any static.
Mm-hmm.
Need to have a good rollicking fuck that just empties out
fuck
the chamber.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, a quick fuck in the hay, and that will result in just bearing the richest fruit in terms of animated voice.
So we will create characters for you. We'll each give each other a character, and we'll show you what goes into the creation of that voice. Start with me. Just give me a character.
Okay. You will do the character of Grandpa Pop Pop. He is the champagne cork in the animated film that I'm working on that takes place in sort of a rich man's cabinet.
Yes.
Maybe it's me, maybe it's not. But inside the cabinet is also, it's kind of like a concentration camp in there. And so there's classes among the different drinks, the liquor cabinet, and Grandpa Pop Pop has seen everyone come and go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What does he want? What are his goals? And I'm going to do my throats up while you tell me that.
Ooh, well, he a lot of what he does is imparting wisdom. He sees these young screw top bottles rocking and rolling and coming and going and making the same mistakes that they've made in the past, and he wants to educate, but he also knows that a lot of times you can only learn by living.
Okay. Grandpa Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Venerable Master, I make a drink for you to get big and strong. Fight, great samurai warrior!
Yeah, and it steps a little bit on the sake bottle character that I have, what you're doing. But I think there's room for both.
Uh-huh.
And it's feeling more internment camp than concentration camp to me.
Well, I actually think those were bad too.
Okay. All right. Well, conversation for another podcast maybe. But I have to respect your choice as an actor, and you did really... It wasn't about you being famous. You did really become a new character. And I almost now want to write to that voice because
sure.
It was so vivid
mm-hmm.
for me.
I'd like to give you one as well.
Please.
If you'd like to create, and if you want to do your vocal stuff while I...
While you're explaining it? Yes, absolutely.
The character is... Pool Moose. He wanders in from the woods and he gets trapped in a pool one day. He realizes that he can actually swim really well, and that's it. And that becomes his dream. And he's adopted by a human family, and he's sort of put through the rigors of swimming against humans in big competitions.
Okay, I wasn't totally listening. Give it to me again. Then it's Pool Moose, and he's swimming.
Yes.
Hey, the only one a me that's like me is me, baby.
So that's our segment voice choice. We have a great guest today, David Wayne.
David Wayne, he directed the new movie coming out. It's called
We Go Together.
It's called Together.
It's sort of a Grease riff.
It's like a Grease feeling. It's They Come Together, and it's comes out on June 27th.
June 27th,
is that right?
With Amy Polino, Paul Grudd, like huge big stars who are his
Ken
friends.
Ken Martini, and it's all the big stars and all the friends.
So please
Elfie
check
Kumper
it out.
And
please, please check this one out.
Watch it in the movie theater. Pay the money to see it.
Yes, it's directed by
Stop Piracy.
David Wayne, who's going to be right here when we come back on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I say to Lucy, Ball, just like pop the hood and I'll take a look.
Right.
I pop the hood. Look inside. Vivian Vance is in there eating the engine.
No.
She thought anything that is hot is meat. Hey!
Hi,
welcome
hey,
back to
hi.
Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We're very excited about our guest today. David Wayne is here.
Oh, hey.
I was trying to think on the way here. I was driving here in the car, and I was trying to think about how we first met you. How did we...
I wouldn't even can remember that far back.
Yes. Hayes texted me about this,
yeah.
And I'm racking my brain.
Was it at that club?
Party at that club, but I think the first time we met was at that tantric fucking workshop.
Yes,
okay.
You were doing that class.
I conflated them because I remember it was at the fucking workshop, but I knew that you guys were partiers. I could tell that of the people there.
We employed it at the club, everything we took away from the workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do, as you guys know, a lot of work in back rooms of clubs. You know, a lot of the bouncers around, you know, Sunset Strip or whether it's New York, they know who I am and I can get in, I can get bottle service. And on a given night, I will, you know, I could probably hit four or five clubs.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's not, we were talking about how we met. I know.
Is Marquee not as good as it was, or am I losing my mind?
Marquee is shit. These days.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, yes. I logged my hours there. I logged my nights there, but I think.
They seem to be doing, correct me if I'm wrong, they seem to be doing kind of an ethnic thing.
Yeah. Now. And I feel bad because I'm friends with Nikki. I feel bad saying, like.
It's great. I'm into the multicultural thing, but enough's enough.
I like trying it. I'm glad I tried it. I'm glad I checked them all off. But
yeah, it's great. It's great. I love it for a lot of people. For me, it's like, okay, I get it. I got it.
Yeah.
Move on.
The sex stuff, I remember first, like, it made such a difference for me. The real breakthrough for me, I remember in that course.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to make it go for longer if you don't have an erection.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been the most useful thing for me.
If you go in, what I've always found, especially with my wife, is if I go in soft, then begin the foreplay once you're already in there.
Yes.
It's a whole different thing. It's like making oatmeal by boiling the water with the oatmeal already in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a different consistency.
That's good clean living. And our little nickname for that workshop, of course, was... Professor Xavier's School for the Gifted.
Yes, you remember that.
We're nerds.
If I didn't know any better, I would say it's like an X-Men spoof or something. You know?
Yes.
But I mean, obviously, and you wouldn't do that.
No, but
I was Beast for, I remember.
I think I had a cyclops sticking out of my pants. The front of my, you know. Wiener has the one.
Oh, because the okay.
The
now, wait a minute. Now I get it. And ew, I just got that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ew. Okay.
We do gross out laughs.
I don't know, like, what you guys like are on when you come up with some of these things. But whatever it is, it's like, where do I buy it? You know.
Yeah, and you'd want to like just eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, or whatever it is. I mean, somehow you guys
come
up with some of these things, and I'm like, it's so wrong.
Right.
Or it's just on the edge of wrong.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you like to do that?
That's where we live.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at my work, I'm like, what's like the wrong thing? And then I won't do it, but I'll go like, just.
You start there.
Yeah, you back up from that.
How do I make this right?
Exactly. I put it in reverse, and I back up just until the beeps start getting like maybe 1 second apart, and then I'll stop, obviously, but then. Mm-hmm. So it's right there. It gets the audience just to that point, and then you just get their beak wet.
Little glimpse into the kind of car you're driving these days.
Mm-hmm. I have a modern car with the beeps, and I'm not afraid to say so.
Never be ashamed of that.
Mm-mm.
David, you used to do play acting.
Okay.
And you would play these characters, these insane characters.
Yeah.
But since then, you've transitioned. And how did you be director?
You know, I just, at a certain point, it's like, okay, you're doing the acting. And I've, it's like one, I was a star of many movies in earlier decades. And then at a certain point, it's like, it's time for me to be director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go to the director, whoever it is, if it's Steve Spielberg or Dick Friedkin, and I would say, hey, I should be director.
Mm.
And then at a certain point, they're like, yes, you should be director, and we want you to be director.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just took the seat.
Yeah, and movies is being director's medium, and that's true.
Well, I mean, look at Truffaut. You know, even Bergman.
My God, yes.
And even going as far back as D.W. Griffith. I mean, these are directors that will come at you, not just with their pictures and their words, but they'll give you like this in your face, no holds barred, visceral, visual I want to be about something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's why.
Can you speak on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I guess I could. But if okay, for example, take a movie, The Stagecoach. Mm-hmm. You know, this you've got the horses, you know, and you've got the stagecoach, but it's the yep. it's the interpolation between them, and that is filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of blew by, you know, it's not just their pictures and words.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that a big part of what is movies?
No, it's the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the...
That's right.
Thank you.
Some of the... it's a lot of the marketing
mm-hmm.
is part of it. I mean, you know, half the time people are like, oh, movies. No, it's the marketing, mm-hmm. right? Like, I won't... I can't make a movie unless there's a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A Facebook ad, mm-hmm. you know?
That song, Happy... I don't know if you guys noticed that. Did you know that was from movie?
No. You mean Don't Worry, Be yes. Happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love that song.
There is a happy song from the gentleman with the hat.
Oh.
The big oh, tall
Mike,
hat?
Mike
big
Myers.
Hat. Yes. Okay, yes.
Cat in the Hat. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I think that hat is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just talk about it and reference it for days. And I don't think it would ever stop
big.
Bringing me joy.
It's big. What?
It's unusual.
Can I just – you teed it up, so I have to say it. Do you think it would not get old hat?
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
You heard me say old hat?
Yeah. Well, no fair.
I'm sorry. I had to go there.
That's okay, but...
It's weird, this motherfucker. Yeah.
You know, but we'll cut that out, huh, Cody?
All I'm saying is I was standing there at the driving range. You put the tee in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You handed me a club.
Mm-hmm.
You balanced the ball on the tee.
The tee, yeah.
I had mm-hmm. to take a swing.
Yeah.
You bagger-vanced you.
Are you on the links a lot these days?
You mentioned bagger-vance. Bill Smith is a friend, so if it just... It's easier if we don't get into all that stuff.
He's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And so it's easier
I just
if we don't mention his roles.
Well, because...
That sounds like you don't like
What's Bagger. Easier about
like
that?
Like you don't like
just,
Bagger.
No, he just happens to be a good friend. So if we're going to like get into that, you know, it's just...
It's hard for you.
It's easier to not... Because it's tough I don't
to not touch friend. On it just in case there's anything case that gets said.
In case
said.
Anything gets sort of, you know, salacious or if we're starting to get into the area of making fun. I can't do that because it's a friendship that I don't want to screw up.
Oh.
You know, that's all.
And I didn't necessarily feel that just saying Bagger Vance was making fun of Bill Smith.
You know, it was anything salacious about it.
It's not that it is already salacious, but it's just easier. Like mm-hmm. if we don't, because then, you know, it's like, oh, so I'm talking about it. It's like, oh, did you like the movie? I liked it okay. And then suddenly someone says, oh, how come you didn't like it a lot? And then now I have to go to, now Bill calls me mm-hmm. or he texts me and he's like, what's mm-hmm. that about?
Yeah.
And then it's like, then I, that's, there's my Sunday afternoon.
And if we asked you to tell your most salacious
story from
Smith
the set,
story.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, but see, it's like that. Yeah. I'm not like things like, oh, I tell, you know, out of school, you know, trailer, blowjob stuff. It's not, mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel kosher.
And what if you just told us, what if you gave us a blind item and you don't say who it's about?
Yeah, forget Bill Smith, forget Bagger Vance.
And it's not, and we're not mm-hmm. even talking about him anymore, but you do tell a story,
about somebody giving
a friend of yours, but
okay.
We don't know that person.
Trailer,
this
a blowjob.
A friend of mine,
or,
and I'm not saying who it is.
Okay.
Okay, great, yeah.
He was starring in this movie called Independence Day, and we were on set, and I was just visiting him in the trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, this, I'm only saying this because no one, this could be anybody.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I go in the trailer and he's like, you know, hey, you know, let's give each other blowjobs, whatever, that thing.
A movie set.
So we're doing it, you know, mm-hmm. we're doing it for a while.
Yeah.
It's probably like maybe, I don't know, 80 minutes or so. So 80 minutes in, I'm having actually feeling like I'm not going to complete, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this unnamed friend of mine,
whoever it is, and
whoever,
maybe it's a guy or whoever,
yeah. He goes out into the area where they serve food, craft services,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and he gets two big crullers, which are, for those who are not in the business, they're like donuts related. They're
kind
like donuts.
Of, yeah. Yeah, they are.
And
like
they serve
it,
them on film sets.
Which is like, it's like a sweet bread.
Yeah.
Yes, but not as heavy.
If a bread gets so light and sweet at a certain point, it's not bread, it's cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be an issue, a semantic issue.
Yeah. But they're not like cake, are they, donuts?
Not. I think maybe the insides might be. But if you have to take off the crust. Anyway, I think we're diverging.
Yeah.
The point is, so he gets the two crullers and he rings them on my thing. I don't want to say obviously on this show.
No, it's
but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sort of like there was an old street game called Ring Alivio in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
Where you throw the rings onto the stick. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and that was enough to get me more excited, and then we were able to complete. And that's the funny story.
Wow.
But I'm not going to say who it was.
The challenge of playing a game like that, yeah. of trying to land this donut on your object in order to...
And we all know what you're referring to when you say object, and you don't have to say it.
Right. It's just interesting. Physically, mechanically, it's just an interesting story.
Yes, the lying...
I love hearing that.
On your back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just I was
in the summertime,
just so.
Right.
And
for
just,
me, I wasn't. I was on my stomach, but yeah,
yeah, and just tossing,
yeah,
just tossing and putting just the right amount of spin so that it just sticks the landing.
Let's talk about reboots, Godzilla, the Spider-Man.
So big right now, and I don't want to spoil anything, but wasn't it great?
They're doing. Very nice pieces of business, all of those.
Really nice piece of business and
yes.
and money.
Yes. And we should
go ahead, Yeah.
We have something sort of going with you right now.
Right.
The purpose of this show is to illuminate the darkly lit areas of show business that
transparency,
people,
like water, which we all need to
everyone
survive.
Drinks it. We just report ours.
This is my way of giving back because
yes.
you know a lot of people I know they'll volunteer at a soup kitchen or what have you, and this is my way of giving back by just sharing stuff that we are doing.
Yes.
Well, and because anyone can hand out soup.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone really can, but not anyone can actually tell you the truth about when you do a reboot and when you take an existing property.
Sure.
And you devise a new take on it so that it can be enjoyed in a fresh way.
But keeping just enough of what we all love about it.
Yes.
To bring the familiarity that is the bedrock, and then it's what's new that is the sugar.
Yes. We have this thing in the works. There's a movie in theaters now called Million Dollar Arm, a nice piece of business itself.
Yeah.
It did well enough. They came to Sean and I. They said, we would like to reboot this project
in the next few months. We'd like to fast track it.
We'd like you to start talking to some directors. We said, who do we know? Who's the director right now? And we decided to talk to David Wayne about this. And we would love to hear your take.
Yes. What are you going to bring to Million Dollar Arm? If there are those who didn't see the trailer, didn't see the movie, it's a really nice, sweet story. This dystopian future where we're all out of white baseball players, but there is still some good white people doing some good stuff, and one of them has the brave thought, could there be a baseball player? He's not.
For me, what's great about Million Dollar Arm as a piece of material is, and this is a movie that to me is iconic. It's part of the fabric of who we are. It's sort of our social, you know, script that we go on. The Million Dollar Arm is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, but or even the trailer, but I know that for me, that's part of how I can bring a sort of a fresh voice to the proceedings.
So why we went to you.
And so that's why, you know, my take on it is to really give it a fresh spin.
Great.
You know, I mean, and I know, you know, Million Dollar Arm's John Hamm is in that.
Yes, we don't have John.
No, I know. That's the whole thing.
For health reasons.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, well, okay. And I can always change it. And honestly, to survive in Hollywood, you have to be able to shuck and jive. You have to always
adapt or die.
Adapt or die. Okay, we don't have John Hamm. I thought we could have – I was going to try to basically do something different in a reboot, which is to use the same original movie.
Okay.
And that was sort of my – part of my take. Part of my take was to actually keep the original films.
With the same footage.
Well, here's the interesting thing because we already have – we have – the footage of John from the first movie.
Okay. Well, we should look at the paperwork and make sure that that's all capiche and, you know, that it's all kosher. Huh. But I think if we can do that, then, you know, the reboot is it's almost like a re-release.
Yes.
But in this case, you know, it's never been done that way where it's a reboot of – but it's the same film. But okay, let's just say we don't have John Hammond, so we can't do that.
Okay. But that is a nice idea just to – like to, just on that.
Just to germinate for a sec?
To – if it's a re-release, it'll be nice for fans of John who maybe miss him in like the next couple months to be able to have a nice memory of him from this movie. They'll be able to go to theaters and remember their friend who passed.
At yes, at his best.
Wait, did John Hamm pass away?
No, not
necessarily.
Not necessarily, and yet that could be something we could
look
into.
But this is going to be – summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Late summer.
Mm-hmm.
Late, okay. It's going to be more than 7 weeks.
So the odds
which
are
is what he
yeah.
If John Hamm is in
was told
40s, there's the odds are against but not impossible that he would be dead by then. And I'm not to get morbid, but that would do something for the
yes.
BO.
And he know? Right now, last time I saw him, he threw up. So
okay,
I saw him throw up.
And he was going into the bathroom a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no offense to anyone, but when you go in the bathroom and you throw up a lot, that mm-hmm. could that does mean you're probably going to die at some point anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Well, may he rest in peace. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to get bogged down in that, but let's put release of the same film. Let's table that for the time.
Put
being.
A pin in it for a second.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my other take. If we were to do just a new version of Million Dollar Arm, that's what you're asking me.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Okay. So do you know Genevieve Bujold?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's an actress from the past.
Yes, very.
And then, you know, Sally Struthers?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my.
Yes. So these are both people that – I'm not going to say they're friends, but they're people that I – they'll take my calls.
Oh, David.
And so we have Genevieve and we have Sally and we have Cheryl Ladd. And basically these three are kind of like the modern day Three Musketeers, but they're women and they're divorcees and they are not taking any prisoners. You know, they don't care what any guy's going to say. It's like, listen, girlfriend, I am out on the town. I'm going to put on my stilettos. I'm going to put on my bonobos. And I am going to just let it rip. And that means their brassieres are only half on. And then I've already talked to Sally. She is completely
half
fine
on,
with this.
On the side or pulled down?
They're just very loose.
Yeah.
Like they're half.
Exactly.
Like they're just not quite on. Fully. And
yes,
again, I've
know.
Spoken to Sally. She's completely fine with this, or I wouldn't have even pitched it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're walking on the street. I mean, it depends on what permits we get. That's not that important, but it could be Fountain or it could be Vine or it could be Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming we shoot in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And these ladies are just not just themselves having a new lease on life. They are also a symbol for what we all want in life, which is the freedom and that's where this and to me that's sort of a different take on the Million Dollar Arm,
but thematically the freedom aspect,
the freedom aspect, and just the idea, to me, I think it connects very smoothly to the John Hamm and the Lake Bell characters in Million Dollar Arm.
We do have a commitment to Asif Manvi.
Okay,
is there a way to find? Is there a place for him?
I do think it's going to have to be a thing where we're just going to have to see if we can pay him off or,
okay.
you know, or if he wants, is he interested in doing something more behind the camera? Maybe he could help out with, there's stuff that has to be done in the office, I'm sure.
There's no specification as to what his job has to be. So you don't have to be around.
And he could be an Apple box.
He could be an Apple box, or he could be. I know that.
To me, that's a good use.
I could see him doing stuff in accounting too, because they always need extra help with payroll and stuff like that. And I think it's you know, because everyone gets a check on Friday. I mean, I don't know why everyone has to get the check on the same day. So they all have to go out. So if you had an extra hand to pass out, you know, you take half of them and I'll take half of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's twice as fast.
Wouldn't that go so fast?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just – obviously, I think that's stuff to be figured out later.
And just in terms of incorporating Pride Fighting, we do have a contract with them where they are going to be featured heavily in the film. Did you see the divorcees are kicking butt, or who's choking who? And
did you say Pride Fighting?
Yeah.
Oh, because when you faxed me earlier, I thought it said prize fighting.
These women are, you know.
I see. Well, I guess
– proud.
Sally's not going to be able to do a lot of the kicking butt because she's got a little bit of a sciatic condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get a stunt woman for her, we can figure that out maybe. Because a lot of times, this is something your listeners might be interested in. Say an actor is in a scene and they have to fall off a bridge.
Well, yeah.
What I'll do is I'll say, hold. And then that actor leaves the bridge, mm-hmm. and in comes a stunt double.
Mm.
And the stunt double looks like the actor, and they jump off the bridge, and then we go home.
Mm. Beautiful, and maybe that's another spot for that end dive guy that you mentioned to do the stunt stuff.
Yes, that is an interesting
role.
We
put him
in
a Sally Struthers wig.
Because I don't see why he couldn't fall off something. I mean, I think that's within his talents. I mean, I don't want to underestimate him. I think he could do something like that.
I do feel like that the manufacturers who did the Sally Struthers wigs, a lot of them have been out of business for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a question of whether there's an aftermarket or a gray market on eBay, mm-hmm. or overseas, and we can track those down. So I will look into that. I'll put that on my list.
Now, I don't want you to go digging into anything that's going to get you in trouble.
Well, you know,
like if you have some kind of way of doing these things, then go ahead.
I do when these kinds of things, situations come up, I get on a plane, I go to Shanghai, mm-hmm. I meet my contact,
mm-hmm.
we sort of go deep into the sort of open air market.
Yes.
And then mm-hmm. we just ask around, and usually something happens that – something adventurous happens, and we find our man.
Oh.
So I'll see what I can do.
Chinese.
Yes.
We have a question segment. Yeah. I guess my first question, regardless of the segment, is does it feel professional to you that our engineer brought his girlfriend to sit in on the session? I've never met her
before.
Yes,
and were you comfortable? Did it make you comfortable or uncomfortable when a stranger came in and just sat down?
Walking midway through, yeah.
Just while we were doing the record.
I wasn't going to say anything to you guys, uh-huh. but I found it to be not just discomforting to me, but a little disquieting to mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
I found it to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Also just kind of solipsistic
Would you speak on that?
Just the idea – hemophiliacs have a blood
too much blood
situation.
Yeah.
And for me, my blood is boiling here, mm-hmm. thinking about because a recording session like this is a very precious,
sacred, yes,
ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for example, I used to spend some time in Gainesville, Florida, at these Klan ritual things,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and if you brought in the wrong element, the mm-hmm. ritual would be ruined,
mm-hmm.
you yeah. know? And that's how I'm feeling right now, and I'm pissed.
I have a suspicion, which is that Cody is hoping to create the illusion that we are friends with him. And so he has his girlfriend enter the record midway through.
Right.
Assuming
so that we have had to see how we actually interact with him.
Rapport beforehand or any conversation at all. I'm happy to dispel that right now. Cody is not my friend.
And if he has gotten maybe 90% of the way to some sort of physical consummation of this friendship the two of you have, and this was going to push it over the edge for you, the idea of him having these big famous friends you'd be hanging out with at parties.
I would be truly crushed to find out that that was the case. For him to have lied to this woman who is his friend,
mm-hmm,
in order to achieve sexual pleasure.
I think it's a hostile act, and it's also a hostile act towards women. And it means, I mean, I don't know Cody well, and I would say I don't know him at all, but I can tell very easily, and this is not pop psychology, that he hates women.
I love women.
Oh my God.
I do too.
That's my weakness though, mm-hmm, is like,
okay,
beautiful women.
Beautiful women.
They're, well, you're in the right town.
The way they and look the and way, everything.
They
and they're
walk.
People to me.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful people.
Wonderful.
And their bods.
And, no. and their bodies.
My sister knows a woman who's a lawyer. I mean, so that's, if that doesn't,
yeah,
show you that I understand that women can do nearly anything, mm-hmm, almost any profession, even a lawyer. So,
yeah, at a professional level. I'm glad you said profession. Like,
well, I mean,
actually,
in small firms, yeah, I think they can do it if it's a local kind of, you know, simple procedures, or, you know, it's like, mm-hmm, local.
Yeah, not like life and death stuff, but if it's.
No, but I mean, I think.
Sometimes you get a big stack of papers and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You need something. What's going to keep these papers all in the same place together?
But certainly if they're, you know, entry level type positions at smaller, mm-hmm, firms, why, mm-hmm, I don't see any reason why not. Any reason at all.
And if it, and especially if the firm has like a daycare thing.
Yeah.
Because who's going to run that aspect?
Right. And if there's, they'll need room to pump.
Now, the real questions that we wanted to get into were, there's a segment that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting better at explaining it to guests, but it's still a little rocky. Hayes, do you want to take the reins on this one, or?
You know what we could do once? We could try the song.
Okay, someone wrote a song that they think explains this, one of our listeners. So let's play it once, and if it works, great. And when it doesn't, we'll just explain it anyway, and then we won't hear the song again.
This will take me a second to find.
That sounds good. I look forward to hearing the song. And in the meantime, what about Obama's policies?
Okay.
Okay, I found it.
Okay, good.
The Popcorn Gallery, it's time for it now. The Popcorn Gallery, it's a segment on Hollywood Handbook. Sean and Hayes let the viewers ask the questions, not the Peanut Gallery, because it's about movies. Yeah, the movies is the reason it's called the Popcorn Gallery. And Sean and Hayes letting the viewers do in all the questions. Yeah, now it's time for the Popcorn Gallery. Oh, yeah.
I like the sort of jazzy influences.
Yes, and that song was by Tim Treese, who I should point out is a very rich person.
Rich guy.
I'm glad to hear that.
Some, mm-hmm, kind of Silicon Valley guy, not the show.
Definitely not going to be making money as a musician. But I mean, unrelated to that song, which is great.
Wicked. So you get the idea, I think, from that song.
I got what I took from it lyrically was that something involving the viewers asking questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was just one of the
very
themes,
close.
One of the undercurrents of the lyrics that,
yes,
I took from it.
And what we do is the questions are in sort of a metaphorical popcorn bag. And,
okay,
let's see what it would sound like if we were to reach into
the bag,
said,
yeah,
bag, and we to pull out a question.
I feel like why not keep a little sense of illusion for the,
okay,
listeners,
okay,
and,
okay,
say it is a,
okay,
popcorn bag.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. We've got this bag.
Oh, well, let's reach in and find the question in there.
Yes. Okay.
Hold on. First, wait, you guys, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a soda first, if you don't. And I'm going to pour it. Thank you.
Ooh, it's a camera. Well, that's appropriate because you're a director.
Oh.
So there was a camera in the popcorn bag. I wonder if there'll be any questions about your directing.
I certainly know my way around a camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
This question is from Corpse Fucker Shitlord.
Huh.
He asks, David, two girls at my school both like me, but I can only take one to prom. What should I do?
That's the whole question.
Yes, that's the entire
Well, I would
thing.
Say what I would do is call Jenny, you know, maybe in the afternoon, the day before the prom, and be like, oh, hey, do you want to go to the prom with me? And then she'll say yes because she likes you. Mm-hmm. So that's that part settled.
Is this one of the two girls or is it a third girl?
That's one of the two girls.
Okay.
Then you call the other girl, Debbie, and you say, hey, Debbie. And you call right afterwards. So there's no way that she would find out you're, and then you say, hey, I want to go to prom with you. And then, so she'll go. Mm-hmm. Now you have two dates. Okay. Now what do you do? Call back Jenny. And this is the classic thing. You put, a clothespin on your nose and you're like, oh, I don't feel very good. I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I can't go to the prom. But it's the day before, so she won't be able to find anyone else to go with. So she will definitely not come.
Yes.
Now, if she does choose to go stag, you have to put – if you have what do you call it? Not a 45, the other kind of gun.
Mm-hmm.
A 33?
Yeah. Magnum?
A 33?
I'm thinking of something else.
Whatever it is.
The bazooka.
A bazooka works. And then you just as she's leaving to go to the prom, you pop those tires. Mm-hmm. And you try to get all four, and then she'll be dealing with that at least long enough for you to have a good time with Jenny. If you can get a friend to watch and make sure she has no other way to get there, by the time she does get there, you can then, you know, dispense with Jenny, whether it's in the recycling or whatever it is.
What if Debbie
is
stacked, like in her bust?
Okay.
And Jenny...
So she's like built.
Yes.
Okay.
She's like got a shape to her.
She's a fox.
And Jenny is like a paperback
voluptuous book. Yeah.
Oh.
Buxom.
With big boobs, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Jenny is the paperback book with the buxom. And then Debbie is like built, like stacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
she's got it. She's got it. And she knows how to move and like.
So Jenny's got big naturals, but Debbie, on the other hand, is kind of pushing something ferocious upstairs.
Okay. What I would do is I would maybe tell them both that you're sick, right? Then neither comes to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to each of their houses back and forth all night and just like go downtown on those mounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's
right.
And
then if you can just sort of get them into a situation where their brassieres are half off, then you can get a good sense of their of what kind of the business.
Of what's real.
Yeah. The sweater meat.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some more. Well, it's got this bag in. There's some more popcorn inside.
Okay.
Let's have another bite.
Yeah, let's see what's in there.
Okay. And did you want to pop open any snacks yourself first?
Goobers. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's this? My hands on it's a big round mound. Is this Debbie or Jenny?
Oh, wow. He found a large breast inside the bag.
That's amazing. Again, that Mark could create a sound
my
drop.
My friend Mark does these sound drops for us. And we kind of
exactly
randomly choose
them.
He records 100 at the beginning of the month, and we give him some cash so that he can
hopefully
sustain.
The sound effect of a popcorn bag.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice inside
it's
digging
Foley.
Into the popcorn bag, and then whoever
you know
whatever
how they
he
do
finds
it in.
Inside the bag, yeah.
In Foley Studios,
he must have a whole studio with like
they
different
use pebbles and a celery stick.
That's great.
This question is from Octored Octopus.
Okay,
David, you recently got into some trouble after you made certain comments about how you would have reacted if you were Jay-Z and what you would do if, quote, any woman got in my face like that on an elevator. Is that because you're a New Yorker?
Yeah, well, there's a certain – people who don't live in New York don't understand that there's a certain code of the streets in New York, especially when you're from the part of New York that I live in, which is like the streets.
Yes, stickball.
Stickball and Ring-a-Levio and the crawlers on the cock and so on. And so basically, you know, Jay-Z obviously is not my friend. But I see him around. I've seen him at Bungalow 8, and I've seen him, you know, we hang. You know, we'll have mm-hmm. a convo here and there. We'll bump our elbows, you mm-hmm. know, to say, like, we're friends.
Afraid mm-hmm. of germs.
You know, and I've been to a couple of his rap shows, and I think they're terrific. Mm-hmm. I can't say I understand every word.
Sure.
But I definitely...
For me, it's like... N-word this, N-word that, you know.
Yeah, sometimes like, it gets involved. Yeah.
But I like that.
Uh-huh. I mean, like, I definitely liked, I mean, I don't think that was Jay-Z, or I'm not sure which one it was, but I liked the remake of Walk This Way, the Aerosmith song.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a great job with that, or whoever it was.
That was him,
yeah. Yes, he was so funny in that.
I think it's fun when they embrace the more classic rock stuff. That's the part that I like.
And I mean, it seems like they're having fun, and they're not so yes. mad, and I'm going to yeah. get, like, you know, punched in the nose or something.
I mean, like Billy Joel played the Hollywood Bowl this week. And like, what's mm-hmm. wrong with that, for example? You know, so yes. that's sort of my take on that whole scene. So I hope that kind of answers the question.
Mm.
Well, I'm looking at the bottom of the bag, and there seems to be room in there for just one more question's amount of popcorn.
Okay. Can I just quickly just grab one more can of soda?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, not much in here. Oh, it's what is this? A hand? It's cold. It's John Hamm's hand.
Whoa,
John, are you okay? I don't feel a pulse. John.
This question is from Bozos of Basketball, David. As a director, do you still need to read directions on things?
No, of course not. A director, you know, as per the title, is not someone who reads directions. It's someone who gives directions. So, for example, only I guess it must have been 4 years ago, we bought a TV set in our house. It came with the directions, as most appliances do.
I don't have one.
No? Oh, really? That's very cool.
I mean, that's not why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of people who cut the cord.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't have one.
There was no cord.
Yeah, there's no cord
to cut. Yeah.
What would you just be cutting?
I'm interrupting, but I don't have a television. I mean, I don't have one.
Okay, cool. So we got this television set, and, you know, you open it up, and you get the all the stuff, the remote control.
I can't even picture it.
I know.
I don't mean to keep interrupting, but no, I literally am like, yeah.
I hear that, as
you're saying it, I'm going like, what would that, right. You know? I mean, I have the money, but it's just, I don't.
It's not your thing.
I don't feel like I need it. You know, I'm not bored.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, you know, I know. I hear you.
My English teacher used to say only boring people get bored.
It's true.
Yeah.
Or if there's nothing to do. So I took the directions. And I'm glad I'm getting back to the story because it's a really good story. I took the directions and tossed them into the trash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so now it's.
See, in my trash, there's no TV directions. There's just like banana peels and like yogurt.
Compost.
Capsules. Yeah.
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 I'm hoping you don't eat meat.
Did you see that documentary Fed Up?
Oh, my God. Hello.
It's like. Google, because that's a rooster waking me up.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I did not see it, but I mean, hello.
Because there's parts of the world where people are healthy.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, in caveman days, they were fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes. In a lot of, like, look at the Renaissance. They mm-hmm. were fine too. I mean, Henry VIII, yes, okay, but that was an exception.
And back then, they would brush their teeth with... Just
thistle
bark.
Thistle weed.
And their teeth, you see their teeth.
And now what milk. Is it today? Crest, it was Colgate.
All, yes, thistle, exactly.
All chemicals.
But I just really did want to finish the story because it was such a good story. So I took the directions and I threw them in the trash. I think I said that part, right? I said the part about how I got the TV, right? And then we took out.
You didn't say how you got it. You said that you did.
No, but yeah, that was the part.
Oh,
that
I was okay. about.
Hamburger I sandwich it. I will have sometimes. So I do eat meat. I will have a hamburger
okay.
sandwich. Right. I want to be honest with the listeners.
You know, I think it's about listening to your body.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like my body says, I need a cheeseburger. It doesn't mean that cheeseburger is like empirically the best food, but sometimes my body has got its own voice.
Is that just cheese on a hamburger sandwich?
Basically. So anyway, back to the story. I just really wanted to just finish the story.
That could be good.
I took the directions, and did I tell you the part how I put them in the trash? Yeah. I think I did. Well, I'll just.
You didn't say how you did it, but you did say that you did.
No, it's not about how I did it.
You said how.
But it's not about that. But I'll just repeat that one part just in case.
Okay. It's one of the step-on trash cans? You step on the pedal and it opens? Or?
You know, I really don't know. I really don't know. But I do know that I threw it in the trash, and then it's been 4 years. And in 4 years, anytime I need the directions for the TV, you know, I have to go in the trash can and get them. And that's how I access them because I don't need them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, at most once or twice a week, I'll feed them out to use them because I do not need them.
I'd take it one step further and say I don't even have them.
But you're not saying you actually don't have a TV.
Yeah. I mean, I literally don't.
So what, do you just watch the TV in your room or something?
I mean, I've talked about this before, but if you want to watch TV, you go to a nice restaurant.
I see.
Or your dad's room here sometimes. If he's...
My dad has one in his room, and I will.
So you'll walk over into there.
If he's working late, I will put on, you know, one of the Spice Channel there.
In our house, we don't watch a lot of TV, but we allow a program on Sunday night, one program. And it has to be something that's nutritive. So it can be orchestra. It can be a documentary about science. It's basically one of those two things it has to be.
Because your wife is
– she
needs to learn
about the world. My wife is basically on a course that I've – a course of study that I've put her on. And I teach her about poetry. I teach her about music and literature and, you know – right now, and I'm teaching her about Bill Faulkner and some of that stuff, and also just I'm trying to teach her about jazz, Blind Lemon Jefferson, Count Basie, people of that particular nature, some of the big bands, the country blues.
So big of sound. Where that big sound go?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, where it go?
So she's home studying right now, and we'll be pretty much all night because I've got a big, big exam for her tomorrow.
And David.
Yeah.
I said David.
Yeah, I was saying yeah to myself, like, yeah, don't talk. You were going to say something. Don't do it, Sean.
Thank you, and namaste, and go in peace, and we appreciate it so much, and we loved having you.
Please, please, stop. I loved being here, so stop.
And... to all of you out there, we'd appreciate it if you would rate us on iTunes and you can have a talk with us on the forums. And if you would please buy the pro version of this podcast, I can't stress enough what a mitzvah that would be for you were you to do that.
Did Bozos of Basketball buy it?
Bozos of Basketball bought it this week.
And as his prize, Melissa or whoever is going to apologize for kind of coming in and kind of making a weird vibe in the podcast.
So,
and if you want to hop on the mic now,
you can.
Cody's friend and what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Alyssa with an A.
Okay.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Would have been better to have done that prior, the introduction part.
Did you know that if you want to find this podcast on the internet, a good place to start is www.google.com and just check there. Type it in.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.